Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, October 6th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Government doctors are back at work following their strike action demanding better salaries and working conditions.
I think within the next 10 to 14 days, we should have solved this as we have been agreed. Without that, maybe people will have to sit down and maybe come up with some other idea of how to get round about.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa calls for more regional cooperation between member countries of the Macroeconomic Financial Management Institute of Southern and Eastern Africa to develop the region's economies.
Colleagues, our region has witnessed significant progress since the formation of MEFI, including the reduction in external indebtedness and improvement in the reserves in most of our countries.
And the Hill Zimbabwe Trust works with members of different political parties in the country in an effort to build peace and heal wounds caused by political violence.
Government doctors were downed tools Thursday, calling for better salaries and working conditions, among other things, have called off the industrial action to pave way for dialogue with the authorities. The strike threatened to polarize the health delivery system at a time the world is on high alert following the outbreak of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa that has claimed more than 3,000 lives. The doctors went on strike demanding better working conditions and the reinstatement of their housing allowances that had been withdrawn by the cash-strapped government. The doctors also complained that they have not had tap water for the past 6 months, a situation they said was unacceptable.
Doctors are believed to have given the government a two-week ultimatum to meet their demands. Effort to get a comment from Barire Nyathwa Hospital's chief executive officer, Thomas Zigora, were futile. Health Minister David Barire Nyathwa was also not reachable on his mobile phone. A committee member of the Hospital Doctors Association, Dr. Nyasha Mtetwa, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that negotiations are now underway.
For now, I can confirm that people sat down and resolved to get back to work from the interest of the patients while the negotiations are ongoing.
Who exactly are you negotiating with?
The interested stakeholder, the ones that are being engaged, every stakeholder that has anything to do with the hearing of our demand or needs, per se.
Have you tried to seek audience with the minister himself?
Yeah, of course. Of course. We have already got a response from him, which I must say is a welcome response for now.
So what is the way forward should the government fail to meet your demands?
That would have to come from all the members, really commenting on what the way forward would be like, would be really something that would be offhand and maybe representing my own interest. But in the interest of the whole association and our members, I'd say we'll probably come up with something, but we don't hope to get to an impasse. There seems to be solutions that are available.
Yes. Is there a time frame for these talks?
Yeah, definitely. I think within the next 10 to 14 days, we should have solved this as we have been agreed. Without that, maybe people will have to sit down and maybe come up with some other idea of how to get round about.
That was Dr. Nyasha Mtetwa, a committee of the Hospital Doctors Association, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa today called for more regional cooperation between member countries of the Macroeconomic Financial Management Institute of Eastern and Southern Africa. Mr. Chinamasa was speaking at the official opening of the Combined Forum for Ministers of Finance and Central Bank Governors from 13 Southern and East African countries that make up MEFMI. The meeting, running under the theme Stimulating Opportunities for Growth and Development in Eastern and Southern Africa, also coincided with the organization's 20-year anniversary. Mr. Chinamasa gives a brief rundown of the importance of MEFMI at the meeting.
This year's forum is special because it coincides with the 20th anniversary of the founding of MEFME. In 1993, MEFME's founding ministers of finance and governors of central banks met in the Bahamas, discussing strategies for dealing with the challenges of the growing external debt burden and dwindling foreign currency reserves in the Eastern and Southern Africa region. The outcome was the formation of the Eastern and Southern Africa Initiative for Debt and Reserves Management in 1994, whose mandate was expanded when MEFME was formed to include macroeconomic and financial management issues. Colleagues, our region has witnessed significant progress since the formation of MEFME, including the reduction in external indebtedness and improvement in the reserves in most of our countries. There is also improved human and institutional capacity in macroeconomic and financial management in general.
Addressing delegates at the meeting, the executive director of MEFME, Dr. Caleb Fundanga, said his organization is happy with its relationship with the private sector and the Zimbabwe government.
Zimbabwe is at the MEFME meeting because we are a member of MEFME since it's starting in about 20 years ago, and we are here to celebrate the 20th anniversary and to understand the presentation that they're going to make, and also to buttress the work they're doing as a MEFME in Africa.
And you're also here in the week run-up to the IMF and World Bank meetings. Mm-hmm. What is Zimbabwe hoping to gain from these meetings?
Zimbabwe, just like MEFME, Zimbabwe is a member of IMF, the many other countries, and we are coming here for the annual meetings of IMF, where in the management of IMF will be presenting to the members about what they've been doing over the past year. And we also expect us as Zimbabwe to meet with the top management of IMF to discuss with our special staff monitoring program, so as to see whether there are any other areas of clarification that they might need from ourselves before it is approved by the management of IMF.
Meanwhile, in an interview, I beg your pardon, that day was the Reserve Bank Governor John Mangudya.
Marvelous Mhlanganya, we spoke with the Reserve Bank Governor, Mr. Mangudya, who says organizations like MEFME are important in keeping up with the financial sector, keeping them updated on financial trends and related issues.
Zimbabwe is at the MEFME meeting because we're a member of MEFME starting in 20 years ago, and we're here to celebrate the 20th anniversary and to understand the presentation that they're going to make, and also to buttress the work they're doing as a MEFME in Africa.
And you're also here in the week run-up to the IMF and World Bank meetings. Mm-hmm. What is Zimbabwe hoping to gain from these meetings?
Zimbabwe, just like MEFME, Zimbabwe is a member of IMF, the many other countries, and we're coming here for the annual meetings of IMF, where in the management of IMF will be presenting to the members about what they've been doing over the past year. And we also expect us as Zimbabwe to meet with the top management of IMF to discuss with our special staff monitoring program, so as to see whether there are any other areas of clarification that they might need from ourselves before it is approved by the management of IMF.
Sorry to our listeners, technical glitches there. Again, that was Reserve Bank Governor John Mangudya speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Wiye here in Washington, D.C. The Hill Zimbabwe Trust says its members from the country's two main political parties, ZANU-PF and the MDC, are working together through its peace-building and poverty eradication program called the Garden of Peace. Hill Zimbabwe Trust says it has managed to set up Gardens of Peace in Muzarabani and Chiweshe in Mashonaland Central Province, Gokwe in Midlands Province, and Gutu in Mashingo, where women and the two main political parties are working together in an effort to heal wounds of violence. Last week, 20 women in Muzarabani met at Kutsungirira, one of the four projects. The women meet twice every week to work on the projects and also discuss issues affecting them. Hill Zimbabwe Trust Monitoring and Evaluation Officer Laura Gutura tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that since the pilot project it was launched, it has been a success. She says their next focus is incorporating the youths.
Women meet on a fortnightly basis, and then they also discuss issues to do with women, peace building, violence, and how past incidents of violence have affected them as women, and also as mothers and as wives, and some as political activists. So it's a platform where women can meet and discuss issues that affect them on a neutral basis. We encourage both ZANU-PF and MDC women to meet so that they can realize that more that binds them together when they act in unity, more a community than they are separated by their political party affiliations.
Men are seen as the perpetrators of violence. Why did you choose to work with women?
We chose to put women because from the information that we gathered at Hill Zimbabwe, we realize that men are facing challenges or problems that when men perpetrate violence, sometimes women end up the victims. Sometimes when men run away from the homes, it's women who are raped, it's women who are left with the burden of looking after the family. So we realized that these were victims of violence who were being ignored by the community as well as local leaders. So we decided to focus on the women and the role that they play in the peaceful agenda.
That was Hill Zimbabwe Monitoring and Evaluation Officer Laura Gutura speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
Three MDCT legislators who were holding influential positions and a Bulawayo City Councillor today announced that they have defected to the MDCT renewal team in what one of them described as a lack of democracy in the MDCT party during the weekend nominations ahead of Congress. Bulawayo Provincial Organizing Secretary Albert Mhlanga, Provincial Women's Assembly Chairperson Gladys Mate, and Binga South Legislator Prince Madubeko Smanda were paraded at a press conference today in Bulawayo. Mhlanga, who had just been nominated for the position of Organizing Secretary for another term, resigned apparently in frustration at the alleged lack of democracy, where party leader Morgan Tsvangirai was said to have been directly involved in the process. Deputy Mayor Gift Banda, reported to be Tsvangirai's favorite, was chosen provincial chairman ahead of Matson Tlalo, who most people had been expecting would be chosen. Tlalo is said to be mulling contesting the result of the election at the High Court, but he was not reached for comment. There were also reports of violence at the Makokoba Stanley Square venue of the nomination process, but no arrests were made. MDCT Renewal Team Provincial Deputy Chairman Edwin Lovu tells Studio 7 there are 14 Bulawayo City Councillors who also indicated that they are joining the renewal team.
Yes, we did receive them, and some were members of the province, some were members of the district, and some were members of the ward. They joined us today complaining that there is undemocratic tendencies by MDCT, especially their leader, Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai, and his deputy, Thokozani Kuphe, who were rigging the election in favor of their friends who won in their provincial Congress, which was held on Saturday. So yes, I can confirm positively that we really did receive members from the Morgan Tsvangirai camp.
Do you know how many members of parliament you now have as MDC team renewal?
Yeah, but I don't have the figure at hand, but definitely we seem to be having the majority of members of the parliament, which were won by the United Party.
That was MDCT Renewal Team Deputy Chairman Edwin Lovu on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. We also reached MDCT National Deputy Organizing Secretary Abednego Bebe, who disputed that Tsvangirai was directly involved in the election process. He added there was no violence but a minor skirmish that led to a gate being uprooted. Bebe said those who lost in the elections were now trying to tarnish the image of the party.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at the 2014-2015 farming season.
Oh, but first, a look at regional and international news.
Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta says he will transfer power to his deputy while he attends a hearing on his case at the International Criminal Court. Mr. Kenyatta faces 5 charges of crimes against humanity for allegedly helping to organize post-election violence that rocked Kenya in early 2008. Speaking to Parliament today in Nairobi, the Kenyan leader said he will honor the court's summons to appear Wednesday at The Hague for a status conference on his case.
A pro-democracy protest in Hong Kong subsided today as students and civil servants returned to school and work after more than a week of demonstrations, but activists vowed to keep up their campaign of civil disobedience. The chief executive Leung Chang Ying issued a televised statement urging people to leave the Mong Kok district where violent clashes occurred over the weekend. Leung said that the government is sincere in having dialogue on constitutional development with the protesters who are demanding Beijing not vet the territory's political candidates. Student protest leaders met with lower-level government officials to arrange talks with Hong Kong Chief Secretary Carrie Lam, whom Leung appointed last week to begin a dialogue with the students.
American-British scientist John O'Keefe and Norwegians May Britt Moser and Edvard Moser have won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for their work in discovering the brain's inner navigation system. The Nobel Assembly at Sweden's Karolinska Institute said today the laureates answered the question of how the brain maps escape spaces and allow beings to move through complex environments. O'Keefe discovered the mapping mechanism in 1971 by observing the way certain nerve cells activated in a rat's brain when it was in one part of a room and how other nerve cells activated in a different part. In 2005, the Mosers, who are married, identified another type of cell in a nearby part of a rat's brain that creates a grid system and connects with the mapping cells to make up the brain's positioning system.
Preparations for the forthcoming farming season have started in Zimbabwe, with farmers appealing for bank loans as bankers want them to brace for tough times. Farmers who spoke with Studio 7 in Victoria Falls, Mutare, Mashingo, Gwanda and Goromonzi told Studio 7 that they've started preparing their fields for the rainy season, with indications that some shops are full of inputs like maize seed and farming implements. The farmers appealed to the government to ensure that they access agricultural inputs at a time the state is engaged in discussions with commercial banks over the bankability of 99-year land leases. Banks argue that the land permits cannot be used as collateral. In communal areas, farmers like Herbert Sitole of Goromonzi say they are working hard to ensure that they will get a bumper harvest this agricultural season.
People are now clearing their fields. What they do, at times they plow in wetlands, so we see that some of them are harvesting, but for the farming season, I'm seeing people in the field as of now, because we had rains 2 days ago.
So now, what's the meaning of those rains? You know, in most cases, when you get such rains, it's an indication maybe that the rain season may be better than last year. What can you tell us?
Yeah, from the look of things, I think maybe the rain season will be better or above last year.
As farmers are preparing their fields, what exactly are they doing right now?
In fact, like currently, they have to dig holes and putting organic manure so that when the rains come, they'll just start planting now. So it was now they're just collecting manure and things of that like.
Where do they get their manure from?
They take cow dung and put it in a pit with a few leaves. Then they leave it to decompose. During this planting season now, they take it from those pits and put it in the various fields. And some of the people will be digging dung from their crops.
That was Goromonzi farmer Herbert Sitole speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Former AgriBank banker Ngoni Chivize tells Studio 7 A2 farmers may face serious hurdles in accessing bank loans.
The best place is the fault of these A2 farmers because most of them, they got loans from AgriBank, but they didn't pay back. I remember some of them are actually referring to AgriBank loans as AgriLotto. AgriBank had nothing to fall on. So at the end of the day, it actually disrupted the lending capacity of AgriBank. So at the moment, AgriBank is no longer willing to lend on a clean basis, that is without collateral. And the 99-year leases, well, those will never be bankable. Please mark my word. I understand that there are some discussions whereby probably there could be some amendments by government on the conditions of those leases, so that they can be bankable. But I don't see how they can be bankable as long as those pieces of land cannot be sold.
What should they do?
The solution for the farmers is actually to be productive, to be capable of producing. You know, banks only resort to collaterals as a last resort. If you are productive, then, for example, if you are producing tobacco, they will definitely be able to lend to you. Then lodge a stop order with the TIMB, whereby if you'll be selling your tobacco, the bank will be able to recover its money before the money is paid to the farmer.
That was former AgriBank banker Ngoni Chivize speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. Agriculture Minister Joseph Made could not be reached for comment. He was not picking up his mobile phone.
Over 53,000 people were infected with sexually transmitted infections in Harare during the first half of the year, according to the National AIDS Council. Speaking during a Harare City Council meeting last week, NAC Provincial Coordinator for the city, Adonija Muzondiano, said between the first and second quarter of the year, 20,000 new cases were treated, while 6,000 were cases of reinfected patients. NAC officials say the 53,000 cases are too high, especially because Harare is the capital city with a bigger population size than other provinces and towns. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with National AIDS Council Communications Officer Tadiwa Pufa, who explains some of the challenges the council is facing in trying to curb new and reoccurring infections.
There is an indication that people are collecting condoms from health institutions, but then these figures seem to indicate that these condoms may not be used at all or they are being used wrongly. So we continue to educate proper condom use and to encourage people to use condoms each time they engage in sex.
Some of the figures that you also released were saying that some of the people were reinfected. Is there any work to educate people about the issue of reinfection?
Indeed, we are. We do have a lot of programs, events that we use as an organization and our partners. We are trying to reach all people, especially in Harare. We cannot say there are any people who are not being reached out with information. We have radio programs, we have TV programs. We have articles in the weekly papers, and I think that in itself needs to be stepped up so that people get to know and really understand that it is in their best interest that they have protected sex. But I also think a marriage itself is one of the key drivers of the spread of STI and HIV, because if you're a married wife, if you tell your husband to use protection, it's a bit of a problem culturally. So I think that also in itself has contributed to that rise in STI cases.
That was National AIDS Council Communications Officer Tadiwa Pufa in Harare.
And lastly, but not least, organizers of the miniskirt demonstration that brought Harare to a standstill on Saturday say they will continue raising awareness about the need for men to respect women's right to wear whatever they want. Talent Jumo of the organization Card Square Sisterhood tells Ntungameli Nkomo more than 200 demonstrators, including men, took part in the march.
I think the biggest achievement for us, which we continue to celebrate, is that demonstration of women's collective power. Women came out in their numbers, women from different walks of life, from high-density communities, low-density communities, students from universities, young working women, and men who were working with us in solidarity as we marched to reclaim the streets of Harare, to reclaim every portion of the city, which has been threatened by a group of touts who believe they own certain portions of the city.
What next for this campaign?
Right now, I would say the campaign is actually still happening. Those conversations are very important. Dialogue is very important. And we are engaging with men and women from different walks of life, clarifying, you know, some issues that are cited as an excuse for justifying the violence that women face on the streets. Some people have cited culture, others religion. But when engaging in dialogue, we dispel some of the myths, because ultimately people only use culture from a viewpoint for trying to erode women's rights, and we are trying to challenge that.
That was Talen Jumo of Card Square Sisterhood. She was speaking on the line from Harare with Ntungameli Nkomo.
And in sports news, the One Wallet Cup final at the weekend produced one of the biggest shocks in Zimbabwean football history after Triangle sent Dynamos to a crushing 4-2 post-match penalty defeat to take home $80,000 on offer for the winners. The two teams had ended 1-1 after extra time, with Felix Kuswatuka scoring for Triangle and Roderick Mutuma equalizing for Dynamos. The match was, however, poorly attended.
And Chris, they are giving one of the reasons as to why probably the match was poorly watched as the Barclays Premier League, which we know went on Saturday and Sunday with very interesting matches. Here are some of the results. Sunderland 3, Stoke City 1, Leicester City 2, Burnley FC 2, Hull City 2, Crystal Palace 0, Swansea City 2, Newcastle 2, Liverpool 2, West Brom 1, Aston Villa 0, Manchester City 2. And on Sunday, there was the big match. Of course, my team, the Gunners, were beaten, thrashed rather 2-0 by Chelsea, which was very embarrassing for, you know, me, that they should have at least scored one goal. But anyway, Manchester United were back to winning ways. They beat Everton 2-1 and Tottenham 1, Southampton 0, West Ham 2, QPR 0.
And in the La Liga Premier League results, Getafe CF 1, Cordoba 1, Saturday, October 4, that is. And then Valencia 3, Atletico Madrid 1, Rayo 0, Barcelona 2, Eibar 3, Levante 3, Malaga 2, Granada 1, Almeria 2, Elche 2. And on Sunday, that was on October 5, Sevilla 4 and Deportivo 1, Celta Vigo 1, Villarreal 3, Espanyol 2, Real Sociedad 0, Real Madrid 5 and Athletic 0.
Just a reminder, Chris, to our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with you, the listeners in particular, and a number of experts about sports in the country, in particular soccer.
And to join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And Chris, now we recap today's top stories.
Government doctors are back at work following their strike action demanding better salaries and working conditions.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa calls for more regional cooperation between Eastern and Southern African countries to develop the region's economies.
And the Heal Zimbabwe Trust works with members of different political parties in the country in an effort to build peace and heal wounds caused by political violence.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndabele with Stanekile Mhlanga and Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night, Zimbabwe.